Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Online Bible Study Preview with Elder Drexel Green Brown. Today on Fresh Manna at www.blogtalkradio.com/ForFreshManna at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, listen to the summary and review from our previous School of Ministry Online Bible Study lesson. The discussion will be on Elder Drexel Green Brown will be sharing on the minor prophets of the Old Testament. Who were they and to whom were they sent and why? While we may know many of the major prophets, few people know these individuals who were also called into the office of the prophet. Short pitch. We encourage believers to study, read, and meditate on God's word. Expand your Christian education and knowledge of the Bible. Click on the play tab or link to listen to the live program or the recorded broadcast after the scheduled airtime. Be sure to click the follow tab on the Fresh Manna Blog Talk Radio program to be alerted for future programs. Join Apostle Williams as she teaches biblical principles every Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Daylight Savings Time. Oasis Ministerial Fellowship teleconference line, call 1-712-775-7031. Enter your meeting ID, which is 206-594-156-POUND. For further information, Visit the Oasis Worldwide News Publication website online Bible study page at www.oasisnewspublication.com/ID73.html. Follow Apostle Loretta Williams on Facebook, Google Plus, and Blog Talk Radio. And now our speaker who will be teaching for the online Bible study review today is my mother. She is an elder, and I love her very much, Elder Juxta Green Brown.
This is Elder Juxta Green Brown, and today's topic, we will be discussing the minor prophets. Who were they, and to whom were they sent, and why? The minor prophets are not called minor because they're unimportant, but because of the size of their books. Prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel have large books, and so these prophets are called the major prophets only because their books are larger, not because they are more important. The reason we call them minor prophets doesn't mean that their messages are minor. Indeed, these minors major in the major prophecies, as we will see. Now, I found it very interesting that the 12 prophets was the same as the number of disciples and later the apostles and also the 12 tribes of Israel. The number 12 in the Bible is associated with governmental perfection and sometimes relates to God's divine authority or sovereignty. Now we're going to talk about the list of each of the 12 minor prophets in the order that they appear, not necessarily in the order in which they were written, and the major implication of their books. I'm going to start out talking about Hosea first. Hosea's name means salvation, and his book was primarily written to the northern kingdom, as his name suggests. And Hosea was seeking Israel's salvation by repentance. Otherwise, they would face destruction and captivity, which eventually happens when the Assyrians invade and take the northern kingdom as slaves. The same problems that Hosea dealt with are those that seem to be present in today's secular world: cynicism and idolatry, which God detested. That was the reason why he sent Hosea to warn the people to turn back to him and to stop serving after other gods. But they would not do, they wouldn't be obedient. So the parallels of the northern kingdom and the nations today kind of have a decline in the worship of God and religion and an increase in political, social justice, and moral depravity. I encourage you to read the book of Hosea, and you will see similarities to many nations in the world today, and that our fate could be similar to that of the northern kingdom if we do not turn back to God. Our next prophet is Joel, and Joel's name means Jehovah or Yahweh is God or Lord. And the main focus of his book was the coming day of the Lord. And Joel warned the people about the coming judgment for the destruction of the land vegetation by locusts. Whether they were real locusts, they devoured the crops in a time of drought, and they are implements of war, we cannot be certain. But Joel speaks of a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, which you will find in Joel 2 and 2. But he also describes the judgment of the nations for crimes against his people, which is found in Joel 3 through 19. And it also seems to be a parallel between Israel being attacked and Christians being persecuted. The message seems to be sent to an unrepentant nation of Israel. This is what God was talking about. God is trying to get not only the nation of Israel to turn back, but us as a people to turn away from our wicked ways. If you begin to read these books, you'll see some of the similarities from the past in the present as it is existing today. But God is seeking for his people to return to him. And in the book of Joel, he wanted them to do this with fasting, praying, and weeping, and humbling themselves before him. Our next prophet is Amos. And Amos' name means carried or born, carried by God. And he primarily prophesies to the northern kingdom, who had become comfortably wealthy and began to have a false sense of security. Amos focused on two areas of sin in both the southern kingdom, which was Judah, and the northern kingdom, which was Israel. Two of their greatest sins were occurring in the northern kingdom are also prevalent today, such as social injustice and idolatry. There's much corruption in the governments of the world, and the corruption leads down to the most remote small rural towns. The idolatry of pleasure and prosperity takes the place of God because money sometimes can take the place of God and provide security, food, and pleasures. But it also gives a false sense of security, which Amos was trying to warn the nations about. Our next prophet is Obadiah. And Obadiah means servant of God or servant of the Lord. Now, Obadiah was sent to reassure Judah that Edom's vicious and deadly attack against them would be avenged by God himself. It was written because Judah's faith was very weak, and God wanted to assure the nation that he still cared for his people and he's always at work for them, even during evil times such as the time period. And today, church is still facing growing persecution, and believers, we need to turn to this book for reassurance that God will never leave us and that he will judge the believers' persecutors in due time. So God is always with us no matter what we face, and he wants us to know that he's still here, he's still sitting on the throne. I just believe by reading these books and reading about these minor prophets, it shows God's awesome love for us and how he wants us to depend solely upon him and turn to him and not run and serve after other things that are meaningless. God has a complete passion and love for us, and we need to turn our attention towards him. This nation needs to turn back towards him if we are to survive. If we want to continue in the blessings of God, we need to heed the warning of these past prophets, which seems to be present today. Our next prophet was Jonah. And Jonah's name means peace or dove, or which a dove is a symbol of. Jonah shows us that you cannot run and hide from God. You will do God's express will. Jonah's problem was he was supposed to go to Nineveh, but he disobeyed God and he tried to run and go and hide from him, but he can't hide from God. So God placed him in the belly of a great fish because he resisted in wanting to save Nineveh, because Nineveh was one of Israel's worst enemies and bitter rivals, and those were the last people on earth that Jonah wanted to save. And the lesson here for many Christians is that God desires all to be saved, even those who have been our enemies and are people that God seeks to save, since his compassion is for them, and so should we have the same compassion. Our next prophet is Micah. Micah's name means who is like God. The answer, of course, no one is like God, because he alone is transcendent. Micah's message was that the great disparity between the very rich and the very poor was a judgment against them. Greedy landlords and political corruption had caused the entire nation to become morally bankrupt. So God rose up the great nation of Assyria to be his rod of correction to bring the nation under his righteous judgment. There are great similarities between ancient Israel and Judah and the nations today. See, sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves. I think our heads get swollen, and we seem to think that we don't need God, and we seem to think that we can continue in our ways, turning away from him, serving other gods, doing what we want to do, and God don't see. But God sees all, and he knows all. And he does not desire that any of us should perish. God wants us to have good success. But we need to have success meditating on the word, following the principles that he set down for us, and not doing things that will bring harm or cause harm to another. Because that's not God, because God is a God of love. Our next prophet is Nahum. Nahum means comfort or comforter. And Nathan's message was designed to bring a voice of relief, comfort, and joy for those who have been suffering under the hand of oppressive nations. These merciless nations would not go unpunished, and this book was intended to comfort God's people with the fact that no crimes against them have escaped his sight. And God will avenge his people, and for the believers today, and those who despitefully use us, unfairly accuse us, and shamefully abuse us will be dealt with by God. So we must leave vengeance up to him. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. I thank God that he is my vindicator and that I don't have to worry about a thing. All I have to do is place it in his hands and allow him to do the work. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for that. That's an encouraging word on this morning. Habakkuk is our next prophet, and this minor prophet name means embrace. What a comforting thought that is, that God wants to embrace us during great trials and that we should embrace his word. Habakkuk, he is consumed with a burning desire to proclaim the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk reminds the readers of Jeremiah's book because of his deep concern for the wayward people of Israel. See, most of these prophets, they were sent to the nations of Israel and the nations of Judah. They all had a message for the people. And Habakkuk gives up hope because of the certainty. Oh, he gives us hope, excuse me. He gives us hope because of the certainty of God's coming. Thank you, Jesus. And the assurance that he will judge the nations that are opposed to his purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Our next prophet is Zephaniah. And this prophet name means hidden by God. And his book begins with a universal declaration that judgment is swiftly coming and that the remnants of Israel and other nations will be saved in that day when he returns. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And just like Romans 8:28, that when evil things that occur can be used to accomplish God's will. And Zephaniah speaks about a day of gloom and doom, but God will save all who call out to his name, and a remnant will be saved. Now, we know that God is coming back for his people, and we need to get ourselves ready because we want to be found without a spot, without a blemish, without a wrinkle. And he's given us that chance daily. So daily we need to feed our minds, our spirits with the word of God. Daily we need to change our minds and hearts and turn them back towards God. Haggai is our next prophet. And Haggai's name has a much different name than most of the prophets. His name means festive. Now you say, why festive? Because God does not name his people or prophets without purpose. And so Haggai optimistically calls on his people to rebuild his holy temple. The sovereign God desires to be worshipped, and he is most worthy of it. Oh, yes, he is. God is concerned that his people have lost a desire for his presence. And Haggai writes in the hopes that God's people will repent and rebuild the temple, and only then will God's presence return to them. Haggai reminds us, as God's people, that he desires to have a relationship with them. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you have a one-on-one relationship with God? Are you talking to him every day? Are you praying with him? Is he the first person that you're seeking after every day? Because God wants us to seek his counsel. He has the answer to all our woes. Zechariah is our next one. The name of this prophet is a reminder of God's people that he will not forget his own. And so Zechariah's name means remembered by God. He is one of the prophets who mentions language that suggests a coming Messiah. And even the coming of the Christ into the city riding on a colt, which is a young donkey, which is fulfilled in the New Testament. Zechariah's language is that the interwoven nation of the present and past cannot be separated. And for this reason, it makes it difficult to determine in the portions of his book whether he is writing about things present or things to come. And so we know that Jesus did come on the scene. We know that he came to sacrifice himself. We know that he did ride upon a donkey, and thus they call that Palm Sunday. And our last prophet is Malachi. Malachi's name means my messenger. And by the word my, he means God's messenger. And this last book in the Old Testament is a final warning or parting shot to Israel that the great and terrible day of the Lord is coming. God is angry with the fact that his people are robbing him of his tithes and offerings, and they also that they are not paying the laborer their due wages. Malachi also gives the prophecy that Elijah will come again just before the day of the Lord, and that this was fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah preaching repentance. And that's another thing that we have to do. Are you giving your 10%? 10% is not a lot. God said to give your tithes so that he will have meat in the storehouse. So I just want to thank you for taking your time to learn about these prophets. I pray that you will join us on tonight for Bible study as we go into more depth about these minor prophets. And I pray that you have gotten something today out of the lesson, that you learned something, and that you'll go and read these books for yourself. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. We pray that you all enjoyed the lesson today from Elder Juxta Green Brown. Elder, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to say at this time?
I thoroughly enjoyed reading about these minor prophets. It's a lot to learn about, but everything that I was reading about each one of these applies to today. We still have so many of the nations, including ours, that have turned away from God. We are still doing a lot of things that are not pleasing to God. We're running after other gods. We're not seeking out God and his kingdom first. But we seem to be, this nation seems to be self-centered, and it has such a hierarchy where you have the poor, the middle class, and the rich. But God has abundant wealth of resources that none of us should be all in different categories. But a lot of us, we have that greed for power, for that money, and we think that money is going to solve everything. Money is the answer to things, but when it becomes an obsession, the love of money is the root to all evil. And see, God is giving us a chance when he keeps telling us to repent. I want you to turn back to me, or else impending doom is coming, because I am coming back. I am coming back for my people. And how many of us are going to be ready when he comes back? How many of us are going to be so self-absorbed in what we're doing and not thinking about the ways and the things that God has set down for us? How many of us don't even have a personal relationship, won't take the time out to pray, won't take the time to seek him? We run after other things thinking it's going to solve our problems, and it don't. It leaves us right in the same situation. When I was reading these about these prophets, it just showed me how great a love that God has for us and how it hurts him when we turn away from him, serving after God, thinking about our own selves. I mean, it's just like we are his children. And he loves us, and just as a father, it hurts him when his children turn away, especially when he has provided for us. He has kept us safe. He has brought us back from so many things that has happened in our lives, and yet we still continue to turn the other cheek and go the other way. I'm just wondering, when are we going to get this thing with God and stick with God instead of running after other things? When are we going to get this as a people, that this God that we serve loves us unconditionally? How many chances he has given us each and every day. Every day that you wake up, he's giving you a chance, another day to get it right. Another day to come before him. Many of us get up, put our feet on the floor, and don't even say, "Good morning, God. Thank you for waking me up this morning. God, thank you for keeping me safe. God, thank you for taking care of my family." We don't even give him no thanks or no acknowledgement. So that has got to hurt, because he created us. God desires our worship and that love we should return it to, because we owe it to him. We owe God our lives. So I thank you for taking the time to listen to me, and I pray you will join us on tonight. Amen.
Amen. So won't you please come join us tonight, learn some more about the mind of prophets, and we hope you enjoyed today's show, and we pray that whatever that you're going through, that God will fix it for you today. So many blessings, children of God. And this has been Online Bible Study Preview with Elder Drexler Green Brown. And I'm your host, Brother Dante Gaines, flying the White Knight, Baltimore, Maryland.